Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome into Attacking Third, brought to you by PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Darian Jenkins, Lisa Carlin, and Jenny Chu here for you guys, and Sandra Herrera will be joining us later on in the show on Skype. Let's go ahead and talk about first bit of news. The U.S. Women's National Team is going to be playing against Costa Rica for their Olympic send-off game at Audi Field on July 16th. What are our initial thoughts about this, Darian? The fact that this is the last game before they go to the Olympics, is that a good matchup to kind of send off to?
I think it's a good matchup. Costa Rica is going to definitely challenge them in certain ways. They have some star players, Rocky Rodriguez, I think, who is one of the best players in the NWSL that we've seen. It's going to be really good because we want to see the U.S. keep implementing the style that we know has Emma Hayes coded all over it. So it's going to be really good to see them hopefully put the final, you know, what's the
finishing
word I'm looking
touches,
for? Finishing touches, thank
yes.
you. Paintbrush was holding, right. Finishing touches on this new system, and hopefully this is going to tee them up for a lot of success in the Olympics, and I hope that they, you know, get some dubs because confidence is a big, big booster going into the Olympics.
This will be the fourth and final game for Emma Hayes, just one of four before the Olympics, because they'll play South Korea twice in June and then Mexico in that big 99 Remember game, and now we get Costa Rica. And historically, the United States has dominated over Costa Rica, so I actually like that it's their last game before the Olympics because it gives them a chance to really fine-tune the way that the United States wants to play and not have to worry so much as to what their opponent's going to bring at them and disrupt. They can really focus on the U.S. system, their formation, their style, and what they want to secure before they play Zambia just 9 days later in the Olympics.
One of the things that comes up is like how they're going to be scouted, right? So those final four games, I think other countries will be scouting how they do there, how they do against Costa Rica is going to be very different, how they play that match compared to who they'll face off in the Olympics. So interesting stuff. We have a lot of news to get to today, so bear with me while we go through. Yesterday, CONCACAF announced the qualification criteria for the inaugural edition of the W Champions Cup. In the group stage, LD Alajuelense will represent Costa Rica as the 2023 Apertura and Clausura champions. Jamaica's slot will be taken by Fraser Whip Women's FC as the 23-24 Jamaican Women's Premier League champions, while Mexico will have three clubs in the tournament. Liga MX Femenil 2023 Apertura champions, Tigres, and the yet-to-be-determined 2024 Clausura champions, as well as the best runner-up. Last but not least, the U.S. will send three teams to the tournament, reigning NWSL champs Gotham FC, reigning Shield winners San Diego Wave, and Shield runner-ups Portland Thorns. Panama's team is still to be determined, but will be the 2024 Apertura champion and the preliminary stages. The 2023 League One Women's Interprovincial Championship winners, Vancouver Whitecaps, will represent Canada, and El Salvador's team will be the winner of the playoff between the most recent Apertura and Clausura champions. That was a lot of words there, but basically the field is going to be set in this inaugural W Champions Cup. Exciting stuff there. We go over to NWSL news, where the Kansas City Current have fired the head of medical, Carlos Jimenez, for violating the non-fraternization policy. Jimenez joined the Current in December in a head of medical role after having previously held the position of physical therapist with the Washington Spirit in 2023 and the U.S. Women's National Team from 2019 to 2021. A spokesperson for the Current provided a statement saying, quote, We can confirm that Carlos Jimenez is no longer an employee of the Kansas City Current. When we learned of his actions in violation of club and league policies, he was immediately terminated. We remain committed to making sure our policies and practices ensure a safe space for our players and our staff. We now move on to the USL Super League that officially has its first three signings. The Tampa Bay Sun have made history when they announced the former NWSL players Domi Richardson, Erica Timrak, and Jordan Listro have signed for their club. In more transfer news, Tarciana's transfer to the Houston Dash have been made official. The Brazilian women's national team defender signed a contract through 2026 with a mutual option for 2027. And now we head over to Europe, where Ellie Roebuck is reportedly heading to Barcelona. According to a report in The Athletic, the Manchester City goalkeeper will head to Spain at the end of the season, where she will compete with Catacol for a starting spot. And staying in Europe, Manchester City star forward Bunny Shaw is expected to miss the remainder of the season with a foot injury. Shaw sustained the injury in the first half of City's match against West Ham United last Sunday. Shaw leads the Golden Boot race by a country mile with 21 goals in 18 matches. Lisa, that is big news to lose someone like Bunny Shaw. How will this affect Manchester City down the stretch in this huge title race?
Well, right now, City are at the top of the table. They have 3 points ahead of Chelsea, and that's really, to me, what this story comes about. Of course, we wish the best for Bunny Shaw, but like Golden Boot, she's pretty much got that in the bag. It more comes down to the title race between City and Chelsea. And right now, Chelsea has a game in hand. So say from here on out, if Manchester City and Chelsea win out all of their games, at the end of this, they're both going to be tied at 54 points. And now it comes down to goal differential. That's where Manchester City is going to miss Bunny Shaw. Right now, goals for Manchester City, 54, and then 53 for Chelsea. The tiebreaker is goal differential. And without your leading goal scorer, the Golden Boot winner for the league, that's the one reason why Manchester City could potentially not win the title if both City and Chelsea win out.
Darren, how do you see this going? Obviously, you're a big fan of Bunny Shaw and all that she adds to the Manchester City's attack. But without her, can they do this and win on goal differential as well if it comes to that?
I mean, I'm devastated for Bunny, a good friend of mine. We played together in France. She's so stellar, and I think she's still only going to get better, which is a shame she got this injury. I hope that she's okay and is able to recover well. I know she's going to come back and pick up exactly where she left off, if not even be more dangerous, which is scary to think about. I believe that City have the weapons to be able to make up for her. I think they're just going to have to change the style that they play a lot, because a lot of it is dependent on her dropping back, linking play, attracting so many players around her. I just think that they'll have to adapt a little bit more with who's going to play that nine position. I don't know if it's going to be as much of a bulldozer as Bunny Shaw is, but maybe a little bit more of the playmaker that's a little bit more intricate and can rotate positions a lot more with their front three.
Well, with Chloe Kelly and Lauren Hemp in there, they both can slot into that number nine
Mary
role.
Too.
And then Mary Fowler. I think they'll keep Mary Fowler wide, honestly, and I could see them maybe putting Chloe Kelly a bit more centrally to see kind of how that affects things. But yeah, you're right. There are a lot of weapons for this City side. Mm-hmm. They also have a lot of depth. I mean, those three players right there, you put them on the field at the same time, it's honestly like an embarrassment of riches at City right now.
They may not be scoring as much with Bunny, but I do think they're still a top level team without her.
Always a top level team. Let's go ahead and head over to Champions League, because the second leg of Champions League is coming up this weekend. After the first leg, these ties are very much still open. Only one goal is separating these teams. Let's go ahead and start with Chelsea against Barcelona. It would have been ideal for Chelsea to score a couple more goals there, because Barcelona obviously has that attacking threat. And the fact that they've snapped Barcelona's 85 unbeaten streak at home is insane. And they're going to want to come with a vengeance here. Do you think that Chelsea can do it, figure it out, score more goals in this one? Or you think, again, Lisa, you told me Barcelona's
strong. I was wrong the first time, right? Chelsea did get the win. I thought Barcelona was going to just take over that match. Emma Hayes' game plan for Chelsea was incredible. Be compact defensively, make the field really small, keep the formation for the Blues really, really tight. So Barcelona, who likes to pass and possess centrally, they had no space to do that. It's an entirely different game now, because Barcelona needs goals and they have to win. And Chelsea can play a bit more defensive if they need to. However, I don't think that's what we're going to see from Emma Hayes.
Ooh.
I don't think that this Chelsea side is going to sit back at all. I think they're going to try to keep possession, make it really tight in the midfield as well, and try to separate Barcelona's front line from their midfielders. That's what happened in leg one, and it worked really well. Graham Hansen was isolated. She couldn't connect with the midfielders for Barcelona, and that's where the disconnect was. Barcelona was really relying on Parejuelo to be so much of a creator, and she needs a little bit of help from the players around her. But I would be so nervous if I was Chelsea to play against Barcelona right now. They're pissed off. They called it a dirty game. They said if we want to play and win this way, we're going to have to match it. I would be terrified to go against Barcelona right now.
We're going
to
get so much hate because on Morning Footy, I also said I don't believe that Chelsea's going to get there. I think Barcelona, the element of surprise, I think, with Chelsea in the last leg was that they sat lower. They plugged holes. Jess Carter had an amazing game. I don't think if she had the game that she had that it would be 1-0, frankly. Same with Ashley Lawrence shutting down Caroline Graham Hansen. I don't know if those players and this team plays that cohesive in this game. It's really difficult to. So I'm really looking forward to this game, but especially with Barcelona now knowing how Chelsea's trying to play, mm-hmm. which they only had 34% possession and they're going to try to possess more. I don't know. I would think they'll go sit in a lower block. Barcelona's used to doing that. They're used to being teams in a low block.
I'm excited to see how Emma Hayes comes out. Comes out because obviously this is someone who has lost to Barcelona historically, and she does not want to not end with a Champions League under her belt and leaving Chelsea in that way. I will say Maida Ramirez was a massive headache for mm-hmm. Barcelona, and does she now come into play and make sure that she scores a goal here because that's something that they need? Beautiful. Let's go ahead and head over to the other tie between PSG and Lyon. They are obviously familiar foes, both in the French league. Lyon Champions League, 8-time champions. In the other tie, PSG took the 2-0 ahead for most of the game, and then Lyon came back, let me just remind you guys, and scored 3 goals in 6 minutes. So there was, for whatever reason, a way that they flipped this game on their head. How does PSG get a complete performance here, Darian? Because that's what they were missing. The fact that they got ahead but weren't able to keep it was the problem there.
They need to not just rely on Marie Antoinette Katoto. They need to have more threats going forward, really capitalize on their opportunities because Lyon, having that gritty win, I've said this before on the show, but gives them so much more of an edge knowing that they can come back mm-hmm. from a deficit like that and score 3 goals in 6 minutes is insane. PSG, what are you doing? That's scary. Bad. So imagine now Lyon has that's lighting them up. They're coming into this game. You know what? We can score 3 goals in 6 minutes. Watch us this other 90. That's how I would be approaching this game if I were a player for Lyon. And if I were PSG, I would be incredibly nervous because this is a championship team.
They
way
are.
More than we've ever been. So I don't know. I think PSG needs to lock in defensively, but they're known to give mm-hmm. up space, and Lyon's going to take advantage of it.
The chances that PSG gets to score on goal, to get shots on goal, they have to be more clinical in it because, yes, they had a 2-0 lead over Lyon, and they held that for most of the game, but the goals they got were lucky bounces, a little redirect, and it falls nicely.
It was a beautiful play.
It wasn't anything special by mm-hmm. PSG, and Lyon never looked scared. I mean, they're 8-time champions of Champions League for a
reason.
They
looked calm even though they were losing.
So calm. And even heading into this second leg, they have the confidence because they just came from a 2-goal deficit, scored 3 goals in 6 minutes in the final 10 minutes of a match. They've been in this position before. They have the experience. They have the depth. They also have to be clinical in their chances they get to. But it's whoever can put on the relentless pressure for longer periods of time. Lyon did that in the first leg already. And they're just going to tire out PSG towards that.
Oh, man. I don't know. The fact that they did get a couple goals ahead, it's still open. It's still open, mm-hmm. right? Both of the matches are still open. The ties are going to be decided this weekend with Chelsea and Barcelona kicking things off on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Coming up next, we'll be talking to a couple of the USL Super League's very first signings, Jordan Listro and Erica Timrak.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. We are so excited to welcome in Tampa Bay Suns' first couple of signings in USL Super League history, Jordan Lystro and Erica Timrak. Ladies, congratulations. How are you guys feeling about going into this new league and this upcoming season?
Thank you. I mean, we're both really excited, and we honestly just can't wait to get started.
It's such a cool opportunity that we can be part of this new league. We both have a lot of NWSL experience, but now we can take that and help, you know, build a new league. And I think that's really special.
Well, what can you tell us about what the process was like, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, we heard about this league kind of last year. And obviously, it's amazing that women's soccer is growing and just the different locations bring more opportunity for more players, you know, in the US and even abroad to come here and play. So when I found out that there was, you know, going to be a team in Tampa where I now call Tampa home, it was just very exciting. And yeah, just kind of learning about the league month by month and then decided that this was the right decision for me.
Jordan, how full circle is it for you that Denise Shilty Brown was your college coach and is now your professional coach in Tampa? What was that journey like, and how did she kind of, was that like a big pull for you to then join the team knowing that she's going to be the coach?
Yeah, I think that I've had just so many different coaches. I think I've had a different coach every year in my professional career. So to have someone that knows me so well as a player and someone I feel so comfortable playing for just really was the deciding factor for me. We have a great relationship, and I'm just so, so excited to play for her again.
Erica, you alluded to this. Both you and Jordan have been part of the NWSL, but you, Erica, were part of the NWSL in 2013, the inaugural year, and now you're part of another inaugural year in a top-tier Division I Women's League. So what is the number one thing you want to take from the NWSL in 2013 to bring over to the USL Super League in 2024?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, thinking back about our first league in the NWSL 2013, it seems like we've gone so far. I mean, there's always going to be learning curves and hiccups. I have some stories from the early days that would like shock people. But honestly, the NWSL has come so far, and I really hope I can just help take some of the experience I have and help bring it to this new league, because there are going to be learning curves and growing pains, as is there is with every new league. But I hope we can learn from some of the mistakes. We can see what worked, what didn't work. And honestly, we're just so excited. There's been a lot of hype around it, and it just gives more opportunity for women's soccer players in this country and abroad. And I think that's the most special thing.
I love that. Much more opportunity. And I was so excited to see the two of you, my former teammates, obviously, very personally happy for the both of you. But I also think it's so inspiring that there's another opportunity, there's more space for more athletes to come and play this beautiful sport professionally and be treated like true professionals. Have other players reached out to you too to see what it's like and what your journey's been and kind of your decision making going into this?
Yeah, I think also being Canadian and now having Project 8 or another league come into it, and now the USL Super League, of course, it opens eyes for other players to come here. And so I've been getting a lot of questions just about what the league is going to be like, and people want to play closer to home. So this allows them to do that.
Yeah, I've gotten a ton of messages ever since it was announced, not only from players, but I've actually have friends and just acquaintances that I know in the investment space asking about the infrastructure of the league and investment opportunities. And I think that's such a good sign that people are wanting to invest in women's sports and women's soccer. And I think this league is the perfect opportunity for that. And we get to have new markets, which I think is really exciting. I know they're not in the league this year, but upcoming, Arizona will have teams, which I think is great because there's no NWSL teams there yet. So just reaching new markets and giving more opportunity.
So many more opportunities for players. And I have friends that are playing overseas that are excited to leave and come back stateside and play in the USL Super League and play for a top tier in this United States of America. And that is such a big pull. I mean, for both of you, you just touched on it. But where are these different locations are? You mentioned the different markets and having football in these different markets. What's so special about Tampa Bay that they need a top tier women's team?
I think that Tampa is such a sports town. I mean, you have the Bucks, you have the Lightning, you have the Rays, you have the Rowdies, and I mean, everyone rallies behind the sports teams here and they're successful. So I'm just excited to be a part of that, and to have, for us to be the first women's professional team here is honestly a dream come true.
I have to ask before we let you guys go, have you seen the kits yet? What can we expect? Are we going to see fashion fits before we are on the field? I want to know the lowdown of what the kits are like and maybe how you'll style them.
You're going to get us in trouble. I'm going to say less on that one, but we're definitely going to have fashion fits before the game. That's one thing from the NWSL that we're bringing to the Super League, and we're super excited for that. And the jerseys, you guys will have to wait till we send you one in the mail to see.
Oh, love that. Well, we don't want to get you in trouble, but I have to ask another question that might. So your president of the club, Christina Uncle, she is a former FIFA referee. She's our friend at CBS, the rules analyst here at CBS Sports. Has she had a team meeting? Is there a team meeting on the books to talk about how to maybe get calls from the officials in games or anything?
Not yet, but I hope, you know, I always roll my sleeves in games and I'm hoping that I'll be allowed to do that for the majority of the games this season because sometimes I'm not allowed.
Christina refs me my rookie year in 2013, so it's kind of a full circle moment for us.
Oh, beautiful. So many different full circle moments to talk about there. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Good luck on your first season.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking to you through our Brilliantly Boring segment. Stay with us.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby Antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back into Attacking Third, brought to you by PNC Bank, Brilliantly Boring since 1865. This is our Brilliantly Boring segment where we break down some of the under-the-radar aspects of this beautiful game. Darian, we've brought our attention to Washington Spirit and how they have been so successful with Trinity Rodman and Croy Bethune specifically on the attack. But how did they break down reigning champs Gotham FC?
Spirit are still trying to figure out their own identity. They weren't trying to do too much. They knew how to capitalize on what Gotham, who has more of an identity, in my opinion, we're trying to do, but exposing their high line was key for them to win this game. And I like seeing Trinity Rodman looking confident. She's unlucky to not have had a goal yet. I know she's gonna score soon, but how successful she is at setting everybody else up is really, really fun to watch, and I'm excited for the Spirit to keep developing throughout the season.
Washington found the holes in Gotham's backline and where to exploit, how to get in behind. A lot of that having to do with Trinity Rodman, her ability to read back lines and body languages, and then, of course, her speed. But it's just crazy to me that Gotham didn't adjust earlier in this match. And because of that, for Washington Spirit, it was like, all right, Casey Krueger, Trinity Rodman, let's get a goal. Yeah, like if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yep.
Now, Gotham, they're going up against a racing Louisville. Front line in Louisville is fast. Mm-hmm. They also have players that can get in behind and trick them. I think if Gotham's not rewatching film from last week against Washington Spirit and kind of changing their defensive structure to be more organized, stay a little tighter as a back four, and especially keeping that six in front of them to prevent those long balls, it's going to be the same game against Racing Louisville.
Especially with Davidson being out.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things, though, is that they're facing Orlando Pride, Washington Spirit is, and the fact that obviously they had the counterattack. They had the ability to go against that high line. Orlando Pride cannot put a high line against them, knowing that they have the speed up top with Saar, Rodman, and Croy Bethune. Now, how do they adjust on Washington Spirit, and are they able to shut that down? Or you think that this is Orlando taking it?
I'm actually going to do another little breakdown about that particular game soon, but I think it's going to be two very similar teams right now playing against each other. Orlando also has Banda.
Adriana, yep. Angelina, Marta, Ali Watt, who's in really good form right now. It's two teams that are still figuring themselves out, but I think it's going to be a very open game, which we love in the NWSL. Ooh, we love a high-scoring game, don't we?
All right, I got ahead of myself there, Darian. Sorry, I got excited about it. We're going to talk more NWSL and a little bit of that when we come back.
Everyone is talking about if.
I'm going to go on a limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.
Here's a look at the NWSL weekend fixtures for match day 6. Washington Spirit is going to be taking on Orlando Pride on Friday. Saturday action includes North Carolina Courage against Seattle Reign, who has been struggling. That's at 7 p.m. on NWSL Plus. Saturday, Utah Royals up against Houston Dash, both struggling sides. We're going to have to tune into that one for that. And again, Chicago Red Stars against Portland Thorns will be on ION. Portland finally getting a win here. Saturday, San Diego Wave against Bay FC on ION. I know that we want to talk about all of these matches. And for that, we all picked a match. And yeah. I will go first. I don't know why.
I want to hear yours.
All right, here it is. Yes, Louisville yes. against Gotham. We just finished talking about Gotham and how they struggled against Washington Spirit, right? But when we talk about Louisville, they have never lost a game at Gotham. So that was an interesting fact for me. Obviously, only a couple years in the league and whatever it may be, but they are currently unbeaten on the year. So they have a good start here. It would be the longest unbeaten run in club history if they win or draw at Gotham, which is very possible considering how they've been doing this season. And they just come off of a club record. The 5 goals in the game, and they had a massive performance. Obviously, Kanu, massive to that. Savannah DeMello serving in those balls, and Ari Borges. In terms of Gotham, they are tied for the second worst start by a reigning champion in NWSL history, which is just a very tough start. We know we're going to talk about all the things that have gone wrong on this Gotham team and what's falling apart there. But they need people to step up. We've seen some good stuff from Esther. We've seen some good stuff from Crystal Dunn. Who else needs to become massive for them is going to come into question. So there's a lot. There's a lot going on here.
Well, they need to start Crystal Dunn.
Yeah, that's exactly
to start. Yeah. How many times can I say start in one sentence? No, Crystal Dunn needs to be in, I think, for this team to be a little bit more effective. You're missing the leadership of Davidson now. Lynn Williams is still getting her feet back, in my opinion. Still, she looks dangerous, but when you come back from injury, it takes a minute to gel into a team, and especially when your team's not doing great, it's even more difficult. So I think having Crystal Dunn in there, whether she's in the middle, whether she's up top, she needs to be on the pitch.
And with Gotham being back at home at Red Bull, I think that'll help them. They play better in front of their fans. They were on the road in front of a sold-out Audi crowd that was just cheering for Rodman and Sard. Now back home in front of their own fans. It's a bit more comfortable. This is a chance now for Gotham to take that next step in their development this year.
Well, you mentioned Tierna Davidson and that new addition to this Gotham side. She did come out with an injury in the last match, so we're unsure whether she's going to be on that injury report or will be available. So that's an important one for their back line. Lisa, let's go over to your match. Angel City against Kansas City, because I know you want to talk about Kansas City. Who doesn't want to talk about Kansas City?
It's so fun. They score so many goals. It's so fun to talk about them. But this is interesting, Jenny, because we are March 26th in the NWSL. 3 weeks ago, these teams already played each other. We're already getting a repeat game. So March 30th, Angel City and Kansas City played. KC beat Angel City 4-2. And Angel City has now developed their game a little bit. They're coming off back-to-back wins. They're understanding that they don't need to possess the ball in order to get wins. They just defeated North Carolina, and they only controlled 37% of possession. So Angel City's actually really comfortable without the ball, which is interesting because Kansas City is also pretty comfortable without the ball. They want to move quickly in transition. They want to get in behind. But for Angel City, it comes down to their midfield trio. If they can get their two 10s on the ball facing forward, Maggie Doherty Howard and Rocky Rodriguez to go at Kansas City's back line, to be able to combine with Angel City's front runners, work the ball around, and get in behind Kansas City, that's going to be the ticket for Angel City. And meanwhile, for the current, when you've got Chawinga and Villa, Vanessa DiBernardo up top, dump them the ball, get in behind. I'm excited to see the foot race between Chawinga and Sarah Gordon, because they are arguably two of the fastest players in the NWSL. And you know that Sarah Gordon's job is going to be defending against Chawinga. Can she keep up with her?
I don't know. That is going to be a fun matchup. But I want to know your score prediction because these games are ridiculous. And with Kansas City,
so many goals.
How many goals are you?
So it was score you're thinking.
It was 4-2 the first time they met just 3 weeks ago. I still think Kansas City is going to win on the road in LA, which is tough to do. But I think it's going to be 3-2 for Kansas City.
High scoring game.
Okay. Again, of course.
Lots of goals when Kansas City is playing. One of the things, though, Angel City lost a couple of players to trades, Amadine Henry to Utah and Paige Nielsen to Houston. So what changes does that make? Obviously, Amadine Henry wasn't getting that much playing time, but Paige Nielsen, on the other hand, on their back line. Let's go ahead and move over to your match, Darian. I know we touched on a little bit earlier on, but Washington Spirit up against Orlando Pride. Barbara Banda, Orlando Pride. Is she getting the start here?
I believe she'll get the start. She looked so fit and in form when she came in the last game where she just got, 30 minutes, I believe. So I think she's a player that you can build your team around. And Coach Sepp Hines has been in the media talking about it, how she's here to score goals. She's here to be lethal in the attack. How would you not start her in this match? So her, Ali Watt, Martha up top, Haley Hansen in the middle, I think is really good for Orlando defensively because I think that's where some people have questions. I don't. I think that Orlando's going to do good. I think they'll be able to handle the speed of Spirit up top. And Spirit, in turn, are going to have to watch the speed of Orlando up top. So it's going to be an open game, in my opinion, and I think it'll be a fun one to watch. Hopefully another high score, maybe not as high as Lisa's.
What do you think?
Angel
score
City,
prediction
Kansas
for this
City.
One.
I'll say 2-2. I'll say it might end in 2-2.
Okay.
You know what? Just because we talked about the breakdown that you just did on the Brilliantly Boring segment and the fact that they were so lethal on the break in terms of Washington Spirit, how does Orlando adjust to that to make sure that that's not something where they're exposed? Well, we have to bring in Sandra Herrera for her match of the weekend because you're just as much a part of all of this as always. Sandra, I hear you want to talk about San Diego and Bay FC. Give me the lowdown on this game.
I got to talk about it. I always think back to our interview with Asia Oswala, and when we asked her what she's like looking forward to the most, and she said she's really going to get into the derbies that we've got going on. So I like the regional angle coming into this one. But I also feel like these are two sides that are entering this next phase of this season, kind of wrapping up four games, five games apiece to kind of kick things off. And they really want to show who they are for this next stretch. Got San Diego Wave coming off of some struggling moments. They have not been able to find the back of the net. We saw Alex Morgan come out of that game with a bit of an ankle tweak. Who's going to step up? And Bay FC losing Alex Loera doesn't feel like a must-win game, but it does feel like a game where either of these two sides need to make a statement. So I've got my eye on this one. I'm going to tip the scales in favor for San Diego for them being the host and having a little bit of home field advantage.
Sandra, I feel like somehow I'm the one that always asks you about Chicago, as you are now the honorary mayor of Chicago, as we discussed last time. How do you think that Portland is going to be able to handle Mal Swanson, who is flying in form? She leads the Chicago side, and Portland had a win, but still looking a little bit weary because of who they were playing. They were playing Houston, who's bottom of the table and struggling this year. How do they handle Swanson and the attack that Chicago has when she's on the pitch?
It's going to be a tall order for them, but I really feel like this could be a game that comes down to the midfield here. Maybe Thorns are going to take a look at some advantages that they might have in terms of 1v1s, individual performances that can kind of stand out or maybe kind of overshadow some of Chicago's midfield, because that's what's going to be key. We've seen Chicago kind of embrace kind of sustaining any type of high lines or high press, and obviously having Mal Swanson being able to kind of slingshot and attack, make a 70-yard run and be able to kind of go ahead and convert. So they've got footage of that for sure. They know more than ever that Mal Swanson is back. They've also are going to have to deal with the travel into the Windy City. And playing out in Bridgeview has been a little bit of a difficult place for the Thorns in the past. While they have the winning record, it's always been some pretty tough and competitive matches out on that very, very large and wide pitch. So they absolutely are going to try to take care of things in the midfield. How do you stop Mal Swanson? You make sure she doesn't get the ball. So I won't be surprised if we see Portland with a lot of the ball in this one. And with Sophia Smith kind of getting back on the score sheet, I think this is going to be a fun one to watch, Darian.
I agree, Sandra. This Portland side against Chicago is always a fun matchup. I want to talk about Houston against Utah Royals because both of these sides are coming off of a tough beating last weekend. Utah lost 5-1 to Louisville, and then Houston lost 4-1 to Portland Thorns. For the Royals, they're making changes. They're bringing in different players. Amadine Henry most likely is available for this side this weekend. But how do the Royals bounce back after a tough loss to take on a Houston side that leaks goals?
Oh my goodness. I swear you guys are putting me on the spot and setting me up. How are you going to make me talk about these two teams going head to head? It's like, are we getting an early glimpse at a potential wooden spoon battle here? These are two teams that are struggling to kind of really kickstart the early phase of their season here. It's looking like we want to see something. It's like a show me something match between these two sides. So I think what's also really interesting about this one is we've got two teams that were kind of active during the week of that leading up to that transfer deadline, transfer window kind of shutting, and they both made some moves. So who is going to be available? Which head coach is going to, you know, present the tactics that kind of get the better of the other? That's the other thing. We've got two head coaches that we're going to get a battle going head to head and their first seasons as NWSL professional head coaches. So I think there's going to be a lot of intricate and interesting things within this, but I'm also kind of nervous to see if we just kind of get a little bit of a slugfest here.
All right, Sandra, we have you here. Next, we're going to be talking about Allie Krieger and Megan Rapinoe both retiring last season and the fall kind of Seattle Reign and Gotham FC. I want to get your take before we have this conversation without you. Is that partly why these teams are struggling so much, the fact that these legends and these captains have left?
You know, I don't know if it's as simple and just sort of kind of fixating it on such iconic players, but I don't think we can ignore the fact that these were two players who have had such a legacy in women's pro soccer, obviously at the international as well, winning World Cups together. And there's something to be said that even if a Seattle Reignside maybe was used to long stretches of time not seeing Megan Rapinoe for international duty, and maybe they should be used to kind of adapting by losing someone like that, it really leaves a lot to be said about what goes missing from maybe the locker room or the things that happen off of the pitch. All those little small important moments that you find leadership in other ways that aren't just on the actual field. So I do think it maybe plays a small sort of part in the bigger picture of things. But I think these are two sides coming into 2024 that had pretty respectable rosters when you take a look at the entirety from player one all the way through player 26, let's say. So I think it's significant to know that they're having a rocky start to their season, but they've got enough games under themselves and enough lessons here to kind of take a look in the mirror and say, who do we look to? Who's going to step up? Is it going to be me or someone else to kind of maybe make sure that they get the boat steered in the right direction again?
Beautiful, Sandra. We're going to go ahead and ask Darian and Lisa those questions about who those players are that need to step up and how they need to do so. Thank you so much for your intake.
Have a great show, y'all.
All right, guys, we're going to be talking about these two teams, Seattle Reign and Gotham FC, both struggling sides when we come back.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
This is the ending of something incredible. The legacy that they've left will be here forever.
The GOAT herself, number 15, Megan Rapinoe!
She does try, and she scores! Rapinoe finds the corner. It's Megan Rapinoe!
Always try to make things better, and I think I just walk away, you know, so proud knowing that the game is in, you know, such a better place.
She's absolutely remarkable, and it's been an honor to play with her.
A goal from Allie Krieger.
The legacy I want to leave is just wanting to leave this game better than where I found it, which I think I've done a small piece of that.
Oh, and it's a game-saving challenge from Allie Krieger. What a vital interception from the veteran.
Okay, so the finalists for last season's championship match were San Diego Reign, Seattle Reign,
<That's a new> team.
And Gotham FC. And that final match was headlined by the retirements of Megan Rapinoe and Allie Krieger. And this year, without that leadership on both of those sides, these teams seem to be struggling. What is it like to cope with that kind of leadership, right? Let's go ahead and start with Megan Rapinoe on Seattle Reign, Darian.
Yeah, I had the honor of playing with Pino when I was at Reign, and for part of the season she was out after an injury at the Olympics, I believe, or at the World Cup, I don't remember. All the years blend together. But when she came back, it felt like a completely different environment. She always advocated for things to be better on and off the pitch. She was such a leader. She's incredibly vocal. The way that she plays on the field is mesmerizing, and I learned so much just watching her because she does all the simple things right, or did all the simple things right. She played with confidence. She had this swagger about her that I think is so unmatched and so contagious when you're her teammate and you're able to witness it day in and day out. Having lost her last year, where she's no longer on the pitch, she's retired now, this team, she was a huge part of the identity of this team. So now that they have to shift, and they're not relying on Pino for set pieces, for all of these key moments in games or penalties, or, hey, we need a goal, let's get the ball to Pino, let's see what Pino can make of this. They don't have that anymore. They also lost quite a few other players last year that were very identity-centric to what Seattle was doing and their play. Rose Lavelle was a huge one who led this team into the championship. So it's difficult for this team, but I like this. I have full trust in Laura Harvey because she realizes that. I'm sure she's known it for a really long time. They still have veterans like Jess Fishlock, Lauren Barnes on the team, who are incredible leaders that know what it takes to still rebuild. This is just a team that's in a rebuild moment, and I think they're still going to be very effective. They just need to put the right pieces in at the right time for this team. Like Ciara King coming on and scoring a banger. Maybe she should have started that match.
Ooh, I like that show.
And for Gotham with Ali Krieger, I think it was so evident last year how the team, the fans, the club in general rallied around her being her final season. Frankly, things that happened off the pitch in her personal life that the team wanted to be there for her. And when you have one person on a team that you are supporting and you're doing things for, you can look to your left and right and know, I want to work harder for this one person that is our leader. That was Ali Krieger. She embodied so much of what this Gotham team wanted to be identified as last year. Playing with heart, being gritty in their play, going hard into tackles, doing a lot of the dirty work to win games, because that's the type of player Ali Krieger was. And she always did it with a smile on her face every single day. And that, to me, is what led Gotham all the way to lifting the championship trophy at the end of the season. The fact that they could rally around a player like this. Honestly, Juan Carlos Amoros knew he was losing Ali Krieger at the end of last year, and he wanted to pick up some other pieces, leadership-wise, that could take this team to the next level. I mean, you look at the offseason acquisitions for Gotham, Emily Sonnet, Rose Lavelle, Tierna Davidson in the back line, Crystal Dunn. He said, okay, we're losing a veteran, a leader. We're going to bring in all these other players that can lead and be pillars of this team and the identity and what we want to be moving forward.
Well, that leads me exactly into that question, right? Because yes, they brought in these different players, but they're currently in eighth place. This is a reigning champion that is now in eighth place and definitely struggling. Actually, they're in 11th place. Someone lied to me. Anyways, so now that that's the fact, like, you mentioned these players that have been brought in, and they need to step up. Yes, those are national team players. Those are team players with a lot of experience. But who on the remaining roster could have taken over that potential spot as a leader on this team?
I mean, there's so many players that are on this Gotham side that are leaders. For me, that's not really the question. For me, it's more so, how do you adapt your game that's not what you did last year, but is fits the personnel that you acquired this year? Yes, you've lost Ali Krieger. You're still playing a high line last year. You still got exposed a lot last year for playing a high line. Now teams have adapted and seen that and said, oh, you're still going to do that. Bet. Well, we'll just go over the top. We'll go around you. We'll have our fastest players up there, and we'll try to punish you for it. I think it's more so of, how can we now adapt with what we have? We don't have the fastest back line by any means. If we're sending Nyswanger really high as sort of a mock midfielder wing back, the coach Juan Carlos Amoros, I think, needs to make those adjustments, which I'm sure he has. They're still trying new things. They're still trying players in different positions. Figuring out that midfield piece, I think, is a big part of it. But I think it's more so a matter of, how do they get everybody gelling in a way that makes sense where tactically they can be efficient because they have the talent? And that is not the question. And I think they have leadership, although why isn't Crystal Dunn starting? I'll say it again. They have the leadership, but it's not fully meshing at the right time.
It's a new team. There's so many new players. You can't expect things to be copy and paste from last year when you have so much turnover, and not just in personnel, but in who makes up your roster, right? Yeah. It's a different style, and you're exactly right. The high line, people have caught on to it. They have to change and adjust to what these individual players can bring out the best in them and where on the pitch that is, because it's a new team, and it is really tough to win back-to-back championships.
I agree with you, Lisa, that yes, there's going to be a time to gel and there's going to be an adjustment period. But when we talked about the different players that Gotham was bringing in, it seemed like a lot of heavy hitters. It seemed like a lot of big personalities, a lot of players that needed more than maybe the everyday player, the water carrier, shall we say. And when you have too many of those very, very star players, do you start to see a little bit of friction, potentially, Darian?
My opinion, the players that they let go of or traded away, that was a lot of heart on the team, that maybe they're not the flashiest players or that have the biggest name, but still players that were willing to grind for the team. I'm not saying players that are on the roster now aren't, but Gotham was always the underdog. Mm-hmm. When they were Sky Blue, they were always mm-hmm. the underdog. They were not ever a favorite. They were always bottom of the table. So the fact that they had those same players committed to the process and they won a championship and then they lost a lot of that, it's going to take a bit of time to rebuild that sort of underdog tenacity that I think led them all the way to
the championship.
They can't
have that same mindset, though. They're no longer underdogs, and that's where there's a change in how Gotham needs to play.
I think that's the chemistry.
Exactly. They're no longer the underdogs. They won the championship. They're stacked with U.S. internationals on their roster. They have to find a new character and identity that they want to try to take over this year, because the blue-collar underdog isn't them anymore.
Oh, my God. Great conversation. And I love this conversation, but I just want to get to Seattle Reign real quickly, because one of the things we haven't talked about is how much of an offseason could they really have had, Lisa, because they were in this change of ownership moment.
It's hard.
And when we talk about how much they've kind of fallen off, it's important to say that it was hard to make those signings when you don't know who your owner is.
Exactly. It's really hard to make contracts and put money out there and promise things to players when you're going through an ownership change and a sale of your club. And that's exactly what we saw from Seattle. Hopefully over the next couple of months and the next international window, they can pick up players and start to climb back up the table.
Beautiful. What do you think?
I totally agree. It's just going to take some time. I think they'll get more players, and I have full trust in Laura Harvey that she's going to put everything in place for them to be back to where they were. This team has an identity. It's just getting the chemistry right to then get back to that.
Yeah. So, some big losses we talked about during their draft and such, but let's see how they put it all together this time around. Thank you guys so much for joining us on Attacking Third, brought to you by PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. We're going to be back on Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time to break down all of the weekend's actions. We'll see you soon.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.